Hey, it's Josh with Epic Surf Ministries and the No Waves Today podcast. And finally, here it is, Thursday night service. This is from Thursday, November 3rd, 2011. And it's Pastor Mickey's preaching, and hope you guys get a lot out of this. Hit us up at info@epicsurfministries.com or nowavestoday@epicsurfministries.com and let us know what you think and how you're doing and any other thoughts or ideas or whatever you might have going on in your life. So, be blessed, and hope to hear from you guys soon. Talk to you later. Enjoy.
Guys, I heard some stuff this week that I would say started my wheels turning, but mine are always turning. That's right. And one of the things I heard said this, that over 40% of the people in America under the age of 24 would rather have socialism than capitalism. Capitalism is freedom. Socialism is communism. Okay? And so that just kind of freaked me out. And so I saw it and I began to think and I began to do. And what God told me is that the people in this room and other places, every one of you in this room is a world changer. You can affect what you have around you, or you can let what's around you affect you. You guys can either be, you can either be a thermostat, or you can be a thermometer. You know the difference? What's the difference? A thermometer tells you how hot or cold it is in this room. A thermostat makes the room either hot or cold. And we're going to talk tonight about, I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of being sitting on the wall and let everything around me affect me. And I'm tired of it affecting you. And God says that it's time to stand up and it's time to be world changers. And we're going to talk about a guy tonight that was a world changer, and his name's David. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if you guys don't know this story in 17, it's about David and Goliath. Did anybody know who Goliath was?
The giant. I thought I was raising my hand.
Who was he?
The giant.
Who was Goliath?
The big, gigantic.
Who was he?
He was a
giant. He was a Philistine. Anybody in here know how big he was? Listen, he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Okay, and chapter 17, it talks about, here's what it talks about to start with. It says the Philistines were gathered over on one side of this mountain, and the Israelites were gathered over here on this other side of this mountain, and there was a valley in between them, and both of these people went out to make war. Does anybody in here know, let me tell you something, here's the very first thing that's wrong with this whole picture. And we'll find it out in a minute. And what's wrong with this picture is Israelites should have never, ever had to go to war against the Philistines. How many of you know why? No, because in the earlier chapters, God spoke to them and He said, I want you to go everywhere you got. You put your foot is your property, and anybody that's in those lands, I will drive them out before you with my power. And these people failed to go in there and drive out the things in that land that were there. Guys, and it's a picture of me and you, because we all got stuff in our lives that God said drive out, and we're let hanging on. We're let sitting there. We're letting it just hang right there, man. And it's not good. And so as we read this story, we see they're going out to make war. And this one big guy standing on the other side comes up and he says, hey man, he says he's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He wore a bronze helmet, bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was bronze armor on his shin and a bronze sword. And slung between his shoulders, his spear had a shaft that was as big as the weaver's beam. And it says the head of that spear weighed 15 pounds. How would you like for a spear to be thrown at you coming that weighed 15 pounds? What do you think it's going to do when it hits you?
Kill you.
It's going to come in and it's going to destroy you. And it's going to be all over. And so he's coming up in here, and listen to this. It said he stood up and he shouted to Israelite battle formations. Why do you come out to line up in battle in formations? He asked him. Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men, have him come out and have him fight with me. Imagine that picture. One big guy's coming out, and he wants one of you guys in this room to go out and fight him. Huh? You know, the first picture I got of this whole thing, and I'm not putting on anybody, but this summer we taught Kyle Brady how to surf. Tied into the Jaguars. And one large human being. And if I had a camera, I'd have took pictures, because the guy that taught him how to surf was Chuck. And as they're walking down the beach, Kyle Brady's up about right here, and Chuck's coming up to about to his waist. And Chuck is telling him everything he's got to do. Chuck is just laying it down, man. You're sitting too far forward on the board. You need to do this. You need to do that. And Kyle's going, okay, man, okay. And he's taking instructions. And here's this giant guy, and here's Chuck. And guys, I get this picture. Here's this giant guy out here with all this armor. And he's coming up, and he's making accusations, and he's making everything that's going on. And guys, here's what I see out of this, and it's kind of like what we said before. We see that, you know, Saul and all of Israel is allowing this one guy to define them. They're allowing this one guy to set the scale and define them for what they are. How many of you guys let things around you define you? How many of you in here want to be different? Then why are you acting like everybody else? So these guys are being defined by what's there. And then this little kid comes along. And his name is David. And he's a youth. And David comes up, and his goal is his intent, as he's going to define everything around him through the power and the mercy and the grace of God. He's not going to be dictated to. He's not going to be told what to do. He's going to go out and he's going to do it, and he's going to accomplish what he says. Look at 11 right here. And it says in 10, it says, then the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel. Send me a man who can fight, and we'll fight each other. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words from the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. How many of you guys lose? You're going to go out of here on Wednesday, on Thursday night and Sunday, and you're going to take your school and you're going to do everything else, and then somebody, somewhere says something and you shrink back. All the time. Somebody says something and you... You guys are the same way in the water. You get in a paddle battle with somebody and you quit when it's your wave. Guys, this David's come and he's going to do it. So here's the first thing he does. He's going to come out and he's going to size up the problem. And as he comes out and he looks at it, what does he see?
9 foot 9 inch.
He sees a 9 foot 9 inch dude. And he's standing in front of everybody. And he looks around, and what does he see? He sees everybody in his country's army doing what? They're behind a tree. They're behind a rock. You know? Stand up a minute. They're standing behind a rock or tree, or if they're big enough, they're standing behind somebody else. And if Goliath comes my way, take him. And they're hiding behind somebody else, man. They're hiding behind whatever. And today is, who are you hiding behind? What are you hiding behind? What's going on? You know, and you need to understand that this guy, Goliath, he's large and he's got a bad attitude. Doesn't he? Met people with bad attitudes? I've seen some of you guys sometimes. Some of y'all come in my office with bad attitudes. But you know what? Here's the deal. You need to understand something. That number one, this wasn't the biggest giant that David was fixing to face. What did he have to do to Goliath? Just go kill him. Just fight him. What's the biggest problem he faces? What's the biggest problems he faces? I think he faces a couple different things. Number one, I think he faces the past. He faces the past. And he faces Israel running their mouths and doing what they're doing and being afraid and everything else, man. And then I want to tell you this, he faces criticism. I know people that are strong in the Lord, and buddy, the minute they're criticized, they fold. You ever seen that happen? The minute you face adversity, the minute tough times come your way, you fold. It's kind of like paddling out, man. You give it all you got, and you get right there to it, and you see you're not going to make it, what do? Turn around, give up, and go in. I see us fold all the time. And the time is God saying, man, I don't want to let you guys fold. It's criticism, man. They're going to be rejecting this guy. What do they say to him? As David comes up, and he says, what's going on, man? Why aren't you guys fighting this guy? And they're all coward, and they're backing down, and they're falling away from him, and they're giving everything up that they need to give up. And as he does it, you know, he comes in here, and you know, David's oldest brother says, dude, is that in your Bible? It's in mine. He says, dude. You know, says he became angry with David, man. And he says, why did you come down here, he asked. Who'd you leave them stupid sheep you're supposed to be guarding with in the wilderness? You are arrogant and you have an evil heart. You came down just to see this battle, and he's making fun of him and he's criticizing him and he's doing everything he's got to get rid of him. And then look down here. It comes into the thing and it says, look at Saul. He says, but Saul replied, you can't go fight this Philistine. You're a what? You're a youth. You're little. You're tiny, man. You're going to go stand up to this guy, and what's going to happen to you? And every one of you need to listen to me in here. Every one of you guys that are young and every one of you guys that think you're too old. You get little young guys, you need to get what God's put in your heart, and you need to go speak to people. God's given you a gift, and it's to care, and it's time to exercise it everywhere you go. Not just some places. It's time. It's time to stop running and be afraid and realize that God's going to be with you in whatever you do. Period. It's time to stand up and be bold. Guys that think you're too old, can't bend over and pick up a pencil without hurting your back, stop it. God said, get up and go take your mountain. Right, Jeff? Get up and do it, man. Stop being criticized and not doing. Most of you come into this place and you stand up for God and the trouble gets worse and you get criticized and you give up on God. You stop. You know, yet in James it says, count it all joy when what? When I gotta face criticism and I gotta face all these things and everything they're doing to me, because the pressure that I go through produces what in me? If you guys don't believe that something coming against you produces endurance and power and everything else in you, don't paddle out for another year. Go sit on the couch. And then 1 year from now, the next Northeaster we get, and next November, come down here and we'll go paddle out. And let's see how good you are after you spent 1 year on the couch. You probably couldn't even get off the couch. God is saying it's time to get up. Use everything that you've been put in this place and everywhere else. Be like Abraham. I'm going surfing with Abraham today. And you know what? This is how we are. I'm walking, standing at my car, putting on baggies, getting ready to go sit on Blue Tops. Abraham doesn't say one word to me till he's 300 yards away from my car. And you know what he does? He hollers back at me and he goes, what's taking you so long, old man? Guys, God's given each one of you in this room a message, but you're afraid to say it right up close to somebody. You want to say it from a distance. And I couldn't get it because the entire session, all he did was paddle away from me. I'd say, come over here, Abraham, I want to talk to you. No. I can hear you from here. Guys, that's the way we're witnessing for God. We're witnessing from afar. We're witnessing down the way. We're hiding behind something, and we want to talk to some people from a distance. What do we want? Man, it's real easy. Let's do this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to witness to this guy. Maybe he'll get it. Yeah. Criticism. It's time to stop it. Another thing that he fought, that he's going with, man, is he's being encouraged to give up. Everything around you is calling you to give up. Everything around you is telling you to stop. There's people around you telling you, I tried that Christian stuff, it just don't work. Give up on it. Stop. Yet tonight I heard testimonies of, we've been praying, my dad's cancer free, my grandma's cancer free, my friend's cancer free. Guys, don't give up on God. Watch what he'll do if you just stay in there. Keep going. Don't stop it. Look at this, man. And then here's old David, man. He comes up in here, and you know, here's the thing that he asked him. He goes up to him and he says, is there not a cause? You know, and they tell him some phony cause. You know what it was? Man, whoever kills this guy gets to not pay any more taxes for the rest of his life. And 2/3 of the adults in this room would run out and find something. I'm going to go fight this guy. I don't want to pay any more taxes. And then they said, and you get to marry the king's daughter. Now, some of you guys in here would say, well, I don't know if I want to do that or not. Have you seen the king's daughter? You know? I tell you what, you parade the king's daughter out here. James says, you parade the king's daughter out here, and I'll tell you whether I'll fight the guy or not. James' niece. I'll tell you whether I'm going to fight this guy or not. Let me see what this deal is that's really there. You know, David hears all this stuff. He gets it, you know, and he says, you know, hey, David realizes the real reason. You know what the real reason is? It's because this guy's defying God. And David says, I really don't care what I get for it. I'm upset because this guy's making fun of and making less of my God. And David says, I'm secure in who I am. And you know what he says? He sees the fight's not against me. This guy's really out here in the thing, cutting down my God. Do you understand that? Everything around you, everywhere you go, is things trying to cut down God. We got to take in God we trust off our money. That's what they're trying to do. Yeah, huh? They're trying to take it out of the pledge. They're trying to tear a statue of Jesus down on a World War II memorial. They're trying to do everything else around you, and they're defying God. They're not defying you. They're not defying your Christianity. They're saying God's not real, and he's not big enough, and he's not good enough. And you know what? Until people like you in your youth and everybody else starts to stand up, then the Christians in this country are hiding behind rocks in each other. Well, they're not. This isn't people doing it. It's Satan doing it. And it's time that we as Christians stood up and said, We got to stop it. We got to quit it. We got to stand up and do what we're doing. Realize who the fight's against. It's against God. Goliath is attacking God. He's not attacking me. This guy had nothing to do. He didn't even know who David was. Period. And yet here's this guy out here that's standing up there with his sword and everything else, and he's going to fight this little guy. And he goes out and he actually makes fun of him. So here we go with this thing, man. Goliath's attacking God. Anywhere you go, you're going to see that happen, guys, and you need to understand it. It's time to stand up, and it's time to take back what's rightfully yours. You see, the enemy can't steal anything from you unless you give it to him. James can't come up here and take my wallet unless I give it to him. You. Won't happen. Ain't gonna happen. You know, so here's what we got to do, guys. You got to understand this. What's your giant? Anything that stands between you and God and the place God wants you to be and the dream and the call and the destiny that He's put on your life. What's standing between you and that? Anything that's standing there. You know what it could be? Peer pressure. It could be any of those things around you. It could be boyfriend, girlfriend. You know, we learned last week that we need to get the picture. Before God gave Adam a wife, He gave Adam Himself. We need to get that. Anything that stands between you and where God wants you or got what God wants and has called you to do. And so what's the deal, man? So the deal is we need to attack and we need to try and get and obey and do what God's called us to do. We need to put faith in God and not other people. You know what they did to David? They came out here. Stand up a minute, Biggin. Stand up. Oh. They took a guy like this. I'm not going to hurt you. They took a guy like this and they took Clay's shoes. Size shoe you wear, Clay. They took Clay's 15 shoes and put them on his feet.
They sell that in stores?
No. How long is your inseam, Rob? They took pants that have legs 36 inches long and they put on him.
I could look like Steve Urkel.
They put a hat on him that would, you know, I'm not going to call any big-headed guys in here, but we could put a hat on him that would be, you know. They put a hat on him that was like this. And if that wasn't bad enough, listen, if that's not bad enough, they took this king's armor and they put this king's armor on.
Hold me up.
I'm sorry.
They put this armor on him. And this is exactly what happened to David. So now he's going to go out and fight. You understand? Thanks. And so you know what David does? David comes up here and he says, Clay, I don't need your shoes. He says, Rob, I don't need your pants that come up to here. He says, Mick, I don't need your weight holding me down. And he says, you big-headed guys, I don't need your hat. He says, I'm going to take this guy on with exactly what God has placed on the inside of me. I'm going to take him on with what God has given me. And you know what God has given him? God's own spirit. In 1 John 5, it says that we are conquerors because Jesus is in us. And so this little guy right here is going to go out and he's going to fight this big one. Thanks. And he's going to take him on. And he comes out here and listen to this story. This is really cool. It says he goes out and he takes all that junk off and he's going to go out and fight him with what he's got. You know what he's got? He's got a stick and he's got a slingshot. But a slingshot wasn't one of these. It was one of these that you had to do this with. And so he goes out and he picks him up 5 stone, puts him in a pouch, and he goes out. And the Philistine, Goliath, comes closer. Listen to this in 41. With his shield bearer in front of him, and he looked and he saw David, and he despised him because he was a youth. He says, he said to David, am I some dog that you come out here against me with sticks? Then he cursed David by his gods. And he said, come here. The Philistine called to David and he said, this day I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the wild beast. Man, that's what the world is saying to you guys right now. You understand that? The world's coming against you with words and accusations and everything else. And it's time to stand up and stop. It's time. The world's telling you, you got to accept this lifestyle and you got to accept that lifestyle. And Jesus says, no, love the sin, love the sinner, but hate the sin. We need to love people out of what they're in. And he's coming in here and he's doing it. And then David says to the Philistine, man, this is the best part. He says, you come against me with a dagger and a spear and a sword, but I come against you with a slingshot and some rocks. Is that what he says? He says, I come against you with what? I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel's armies. You have defiled him, not them. When are we going to get enough? David says, today the Lord will hand you over to me. Today I will strike you down, cut off your head, and give the corpses of the Philistines' camp to the birds of the sky and the creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He's going to hand you over to us. Guys, when you stand up and you put your faith in God and you step out on it, guess what's going to happen? Philistine's going to deny you. He's going to try to come against you. But guess who's going to be on your side? The creator of this universe. The only true and living God. And listen to this. It says, when the Philistine heard all of this, he started toward David to attack him. And what did David do? It says he ran the other way, and as he's running backwards, he puts something in his rock and throws it behind him, right? No. What does it say he did?
David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet
him. It says David didn't wait. He starts running toward the giant. And as he's running, he's reaching in his pocket. He's putting a thing up, and I can hear he's praying the whole time, I'm sure. Or instead of praying, you know what he may be doing? He may be praising. He may be singing to the top of his lungs. My God's not dead! Huh? And I can see him now. He probably stopped in midstream because some of you were doing it. He's roaring like a lion. And he's firing down across this thing and he's slinging a rock and he's coming. And he's coming at him. And I can just, you know, I can see this whole picture coming. And it's going and he's charging him. And it's coming and it's happening. And it says, and David put his hand in the bag, took out a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine right between the eyes. And you know what it says? It says it didn't just knock him out. It says the rock sunk into his forehead. Dude, it says he fell down dead. And it says, David went over and took the giant's own sword and cut the giant's head off. And then it says he cut his head off and all the other Philistines, they ran, man. Guys, and you need to understand something. That some of you got stuff going into your life you need to stand up to. You need to stop shrinking away from and running away from, and it's time you charged it with the power of God that's in you. It's time you started going after it. What are you afraid of? Somebody's going to make fun of you? You guys make fun of each other 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I hear it. Why does that bother you?
Because they do it out of love. Kind of.
You hope? Why are you afraid of that? I'm going to tell you guys, Because we're like the Israelites. We're shrunk back, and we see the giant, and we think he's bigger than God. We think he's bigger than God. Linda is a dreamer. Five years ago, she wakes me up in the middle of the night, hadn't talked to me about any of this stuff yet, and she goes, it's 2:00 in the morning, I'm starting a business, and here's the name of it, God just told me. I said, good, write it down, you can explain it to me in the morning. The rest is history. Guys, God's spoken to some of you in this room. And you're keeping it hid in here when he's calling you to shine it out here. He's calling you to be a witness. He's calling you to stand up. He's calling you to be different than all your friends around you. He's calling you not to succumb to peer pressure. David could have said, well, okay, you're getting on me. I'm going back and 10 sheep. And they'd have been out there another 40 days. Hiding. Not doing what God called them to do. Guys, what has God spoken to your heart that you've shrunk back from, that you're not stepping into? What? I've shrunk back before. I won't shrink back again. Period. What's between you and your destiny that needs to move tonight? That you need to step up to and say, not anymore. Friends, surfboards, skateboards, sports. What has become greater than God that's in front of you? It's time to lay it down. It's time to stand up. And it's time to call God God and let him be that in your life. Period. Period. What are you shrinking back from? And God's whispering in some ears and saying, you've done stuff that, not God, but the enemy's whispering in your ear saying, you've done stuff that you can't be used. And God's saying, give it to me, I'll take it out. Tomorrow's trash day, I'll get rid of it. What is it? What is it? Stop being afraid. We sang that song. God, Josh started it off really slow. I'm thinking, did he forget how to play this thing? But you know, that's how we are. We start it off and we whisper. We stand in the corner and we go, my God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside. He's roaring like a lion. My faith is dead. I need a resurrection somehow. Let love Reagan's up here whispering back to me. Guys, it's one thing to do it in here. It's another thing to do it out there. As the praise team comes, listen to me. God spoke to this to me through somebody. And then He revised it in me. Guys, and you need to listen to this. What if you woke up tomorrow and the only things in your life were what you praised God for the day before? What would you have? If the only things you have were what you gave glory to God for the day before, what would you have? Nothing? How many people would be missing out of your life? Guys, you see, David gave glory to God and he defeated the enemy. And that's what you need to do tonight. I want to stand in between you and God. Are you singing, "My God's not dead"? Are you shouting it? I don't know about you, but I think it's time to shout it. I think it's time to tell them. I don't know what statistics you're getting about people that don't God's name off my money and everything else, but you haven't talked to me. Let your voice be heard. New Testament starts off after 400 years of silence on God's behalf with a guy that stands up and screams in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Guys, your friends, this country, and everybody around you is waiting for somebody to stand up and scream, "Prepare the way of the Lord, because He's coming." Everybody get up.